You can turn in your Bibles there to Luke 24, where Gert read from. That's where we're going to be this morning. We are kind of carrying on again where what we've been looking at since January, and just really looking at this. What is the mission that Jesus has called us to as a church? What is he asking us to do? And in this passage, I think we've had an awesome Easter season. That was such a wonderful couple services last week. So many of you just talked about just how much you appreciated those. They were great. What a celebration! And Luke 24, this passage, it actually parallels what we looked at last Sunday, the first few verses that we read there, right? That account of Jesus, the first time he meets his disciples in the upper room. This is Luke's account of, we read John's last Sunday. And then the next part is kind of a review, kind of a summary of what we've looked at up to this point since January. And then we'll be looking ahead to kind of where we're going next. And so I don't do this very often, but I actually have an outline this morning. Ernest is really good at these things, but so they all start with M too. Verses 44 to 46 is the message, the gospel message, the good news, right? And so that's what we just celebrated at Easter, and so that's those verses there. And then 47 and 8 and 48 are the mission, and that's what we've really been digging into and asking the question since January: what is the mission Jesus gave the church? What are we to be about? What are we supposed to be doing as Christians here and now? And then verse 49 is the method, the how do we go about that? And I think that's what we're stepping into next. That's where we're going here over the next number of weeks, months. Really, it's an ongoing thing. It should be ongoing throughout our Christian lives as we constantly seek God for what he's asking us to do. And so in the next coming weeks, months, we'll be using Acts, the book of Acts, and going using Acts to kind of look at how did they fulfill the mission that Jesus gave them, the disciples, that great commission. How did they fulfill that? And then looking at what that looks like in our context. Of course, there's fundamental things, foundational things, and how you go about it by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is what we'll see there in verse 49. But it's also specific to our context. You know, we celebrated new members of this body, right? And God has called us here, this body, uniquely. Every person that he's put there, here, right, is a member of the body with the gifts, and then where you're from and the opportunities you have, right? All of that is specific. And then the culture, the society, the time, post-COVID, post-Christian culture, Western culture, all those things that come together for how are we to carry out God's mission in this time. And that part's, we can't just look up a chapter and verse for that. God's word gives us the foundation, but we need to seek him. We need to hear from him. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us as to how are we actually going to carry that out and share that message. And so I don't know about anybody else, but that's a little intimidating for me. You know, as you look towards that, Lord, you know, this is the unknown that we're stepping into. And so that's what, that's the next, I think that's where we're at as a church. And so we're going to be looking to do that as we go forward. But to start, let's start this morning with just putting our feet back on that firm foundation and reminding ourselves of that firm foundation. So starting at verse 36 in Luke 24, said, and as they were talking about these things, and Gert shared there that this is right after the verses previous to this, this is the day that Jesus, this is resurrection day, okay? So in the morning, we talked about this last Sunday, you know, they run to the tomb, body's not there, you know, Mary sees Jesus, but the disciples haven't seen him yet. And then Luke records this on the road to Emmaus. And so there's these two disciples that are walking along the road, and Jesus meets them, comes and joins them. They don't recognize him, and he has this. There's this great exchange, and then they kind of, their eyes are opened when he breaks bread, and then he vanishes. And so they immediately run the 7 miles from Emmaus back to Jerusalem. They just got there, run back to tell the disciples, we saw him. And then this is where this picks up. As they were talking, so that's those disciples are on the road to Emmaus with the 11 disciples, talking about these things, what had happened on the road to Emmaus, Jesus himself stood among them. Remember last week, John said the doors, he noted the doors were bolted shut. Peace to you. So when these are Jews, that would be, what did they say? Shalom. Shalom, and I've shared this before, but it's more than just absence of conflict. Shalom is that everything in it is in its right place, in right order, right? There isn't, things are as they should be. And so that feeling of you put yourself in the disciples' shoes, like, what happens now? We were, before, they were able just to follow Jesus, right? Just all they had to do was just get up every morning, whatever Jesus said, they do, they obey, wherever he goes, they go, wherever they, you're right? That was their life. Well, now, he's risen, but he shows up, he leaves, right? And so it's like, what do we do now? And there's fear and intimidation, and just like us, we're looking, God, what do you, we know the mission. We have a heart for the mission. We want to see lost people saved, but how do we do that? And there's some, if you're feeling a little bad, and the first thing Jesus says to us is peace, shalom. Don't worry. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. I'm in control. All right, shalom. Don't be afraid of what the future holds. Jesus is a loving shepherd. Ladies? He will lead us and guide us. That was what the if gathering was. That was the passage. Psalm 23. Then he carries on. So he says, shalom, peace. Don't be afraid. See my hands and my feet, that it is I, myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy, their disbeliefs changed from kind of not knowing what to believe, all kind of scattered, till now they just can't. It's so amazing they can't believe it. And were marveling, he said to them, have you anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. And this is just great. This is just such a reminder that our Lord Jesus is alive. He's alive. We follow a risen Savior, and that's what we celebrated last week. We celebrated that Jesus rose again and proved that he conquered sin and death. We don't follow just a bunch of ancient ideas. We don't follow an old book that has some old ideas that, you know, it's not a best ways, the roadmap to live. It's a great, follow God's law. It is the best way to live, okay, what he says. But that's not what we follow. We are in relationship with a risen Savior. Amen? And so as we, this, I don't know if anybody else feels that, like is this, as we look forward to how do we go about sharing the gospel with the lost, you know, and there's the big picture of us as a church, you know, we just, the fact that we're here in a community that's lost, you know, how do we reach them, neighbors next door? But then for each one of us, you have people that you don't even know how to approach, how to start that conversation, me included, you know, like how do we even, I don't even know where they're at. You know, I don't think they follow, I don't think they know about Jesus. And so how do we even start that? How do we even initiate that conversation? And then there's other ones that are in your life, they're loved ones, they're dear ones that you know aren't following. And you're going, how do I speak to them? What do you want me to do, God, in their life? And so we can probably all relate to that. And Jesus is saying, we're not proclaiming some past thing, just a great set of ideas. We're proclaiming a relationship with God, and he's alive, and he's with us. And so if you're feeling any of that, what do? The confidence we have is that Jesus is alive, that he's with us, he's in relationship with us, and he has given us the Holy Spirit to come alongside us, the paraclete, to come alongside, to teach us, to be our advocate, to be our comforter, to show us, to lead us. We have an eternal life that nothing can take away. Amen? You can say like Paul, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I just love that. You think Paul, like, what could you do to that guy? Right? It's like, if you don't stop preaching, we're going to lock you up and kill you. And you go, to die is gain. Like, fine, we'll let you live. To live is Christ. I stole that from another pastor, but it's good. It's true. it's true. I mean, that's that eternal life. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, right? And so we have that as a foundation. And so as we go out to that intimidation, that fear we might have, we know we have an eternal life. Nothing can take that away, no matter what. And we happen to live in a country where we wouldn't be killed for our faith currently. And so we're blessed. But that's not the reality of some. I saw a news article this morning. They estimate 8,000 Nigerian Christians were killed last year. 8,000. You know. We have the God, the Holy Spirit, living in us, our advocate, our comforter. We read in John 14 there a couple months ago, giving us the words to say, teaching us, telling, revealing more about Jesus to us. Those are things that Jesus said. This is what the Holy Spirit is going to do. And we have the risen Jesus that wants a relationship with every person. You know, it's so incredible that it's not like we have to go and try and convince people. We just have to point them to Jesus. We have to look, we just need to let Jesus use us. We don't have to prove anything, right? We just need to be open to Jesus. Use us to however, whatever you're doing already, working in their hearts, use us however you want, however you can, to try and be part of that. That's what he's asking of us. And so that's the foundation for us as Christians. When I go through that list and I remind myself of those things, it makes me more confident, you know? What have I got to lose? What have I got? Why am I afraid of sharing this message, of going out and being on this mission? What have I got to fear? I've got eternal life and the Holy Spirit and risen Savior, and the proof is there. Anybody feeling any more confident? I'm with you. I'm serious. That's why we need his word. So let's look at our text for today. Verse 44. First we have the message. On that foundation we just looked at. Verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." It's basically the whole Old Testament, okay? Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead." And so the message, of course, is the gospel. It's the good news. That's what the word gospel means, of Jesus. And we just celebrated that at Easter, that he is the Messiah that the Old Testament prophesied about. He fulfilled all those prophecies. One of the commentaries that I was reading this week by Michael Card, he says, "Jesus unfolds in a sentence that you could speak in a single breath what had taken an eternity to accomplish." Isn't that incredible? You know, you have all those years, everything before Christ, all that leading up. First Peter 1:20 tells us that Jesus was the plan before the creation of the world. Within the Trinity, the Godhead said Jesus was already the plan, right, to redeem and to reconcile before the world was even created. And so Jesus, of course, is the message. He's the central person in that message. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but through me." And then notice that it's founded on God's word. And here Luke records how Jesus says, on the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. And basically, he's just summarizing for them the whole Old Testament, because that's kind of how they divided it up. They had the law of Moses, the first five books of the Bible that he wrote. They had all the prophetic books. You can think of all those different prophets. And then they had the wisdom literature, which was Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and that, right? So Jesus is saying, look at the whole Old Testament scripture. All of it was always pointing to me. It was always about me. And then you have the incredible passages like Isaiah 53 or Psalm 22 that go into this like incredible detail of how Jesus would be crucified. And before crucifixion was even invented, you know, Isaiah wrote that before it was even invented, and it talks about being pierced. And so we have all that Old Testament, and that's what the early church proclaimed, was the Word of God. They used the Old Testament scriptures to share the gospel about Jesus. And so, again, it's just amazing that we have God's word in order to point people to Jesus. We're not doing it based on an experience. This isn't just, you know, some good ideas, some great tips to live by, right? We have God's word that reveals the real person, the risen Jesus Christ. And then for us, too, is now we have not only the Old Testament, but we have the New Testament, too. And the beginning of 1 John, you can read that later. That's a great section where basically John, in his letter, he starts it off by saying, like, okay, I'm going to tell you about the one who we saw, the one who we touched, the words that we heard. We saw him rise from the dead. He gives us brief. That's the start of the intro to his letter, right? And we're doing this. We want to tell you so that our joy may be complete, so that you can be part of and have this incredible message that we have, this good news. And so we know the message of Jesus. Now, what's about the mission that he gave us? So this is what we've been talking about since January. What's the mission Jesus gave us, right? We have a personal relationship with Jesus. That's our personal salvation. That's incredible. That's the eternal life that no one can take away. That's relationship with him. We talk to him. He talks to us. Holy Spirit in us. All of that. Yes and amen. That's our foundation as Christians. But we don't just then live out the rest of our lives saying, cool, you know, we've got a job to do, right? God has given us a mission. And so this is what we've talked about. So a little quiz time, pop quiz. So what is our mission? Think back all the way back to January or throughout your, throughout your Christian life, what's the mission that Jesus gave the church? Why hasn't he come back yet? That's the question I like to ask myself, right? Remember in Acts 1, we looked at that, and right before he ascends, Jesus like gives them the Great Commission, and then he ascends to heaven, and then they're all still staring up, and the angels are like, hey, what are you doing? What are you waiting for? Like, he's going to come back the same way. Go do what he said, right? I'm giving away the answer. I do that a lot. Anyways, what's the mission? Sorry? Go into all the world. I mean, all the way. That's a disciple. What else? Mission, disciple. What else stands out? Unconditional love. Unconditional love, right? The great commandment. We have the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. And the Great Commandment is unconditional love both for him, for God, and for your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. What else? What are the keys to being a disciple? What's the keys to our mission? Sorry? Serve. To serve. Yes. Yeah, and you can think of so many. Jesus, right at the Last Supper when he washes their feet. You know, I think of that example where he says, I do this as an example. Go and do likewise. Right? Lynn? Their way home. Lynn's just sharing that yesterday at the IF conference, one of the things was helping people find their way home. Amen. Yeah, and we've kind of paraphrased Matthew 28, and we've kind of paraphrased it as, you know, the go and make disciples, great commission, to invite people to follow and obey Jesus, right? That idea of you're like coming alongside, you're not saying, I don't have it all put together, I'm not perfect yet, but I know the master and he is, and so come along, I can show you at least as much as I can. Let's go do it together. Any other keys to that mission, to being a disciple? Baptizing people. Yes. Yeah, that's what Matthew 28, right? He said, go baptizing them and teaching them to obey both. Yeah, and that's what we said. There's a commitment there. There's a leaving the old life behind. There's a profession. There's a public. There's a we want everyone to know he's my master. He's my Lord. I'm following him now. Absolutely. Yeah, so the mission. Or, oh, yeah, within the body, the unity. Yes, loving one another. Yeah, and then that brings in the forgiveness. You know, you think of the Lord's Prayer, forgive others, and as God has forgiven you, right? Absolutely. Unity, the fact that he called them together, that they went back, the 100, you know, and were in the upper room devoted to prayer before he sent them out. Absolutely. The unity of body, that there's different parts and different gifts and everybody has what God has called them. He's put them together exactly how he wants it to be. Mm-hmm. Give any more keys? Discipleship or mission? Keep thinking. Amen. We're to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not in ourselves. Amen to that. And that's what we're going to see. That's how it ends today. That's the start of that question we're asking of, Lord, what do we do? How do we actually do this in our context? It starts by seeking him by the power of the Holy Spirit for God to work. We don't want to come up with our own ideas. We don't want to brainstorm together and do what we think, right? We want God to lead. Amen. So let's read that. The mission, 47 and 48. And that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. The mission, everything that we've talked about there, to go and make disciples. And part of that message is proclaiming repentance and forgiveness, you know, because it's not good news. It's only good news because we need a Savior. If we didn't need a Savior, we wouldn't, right? It's because we need saving. Saving from what? From sin. And that's part of the good news, is that Jesus has come to be our Savior, and he saves us from the consequences. The wages of sin is death, right? And we see that right away. We see not only, of course, eternal death, there's an eternity at stake here, but we see the consequences of sin right now. You know, how it hurts and damages and ruins relationships, and right? The consequences are here in our world now. And so we claim repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Repentance means to turn. You've heard my definition of sin before. Sin is simply doing it your way instead of God's way, right? So sometimes that's not doing what he's telling you to do. It's not, sin isn't just doing a bad thing you're not supposed to do. Sometimes sin is just, is not obeying what he's asking you to do. It's doing it your own way. It's wanting to be your own God. It's being, I'm in charge of my life. I can do this on my own. I can save myself, right? That was Adam and Eve. They wanted to be like God. That's why the first sin happened. Eating an apple isn't a sin, right? Anybody like apples? Right? It's because God said don't. And they're like, yeah, I think we know better. How often do we do that, right? And we proclaim it in his name, right? Because we're not proclaiming a repentance of sins by, you know, do this religious thing over here, come to church, read your Bible, you know what I mean? And that'll save you. No, it's repentance in his name. It's by grace alone. It's only through Jesus and his death, what we celebrated last weekend, his death on the cross. That's what we're proclaiming. That's why it's in his name. Nothing else is going to get you there. No amount of religious duties. We do those because he saved us and because he's our master and we want to please him and we know it's the best way to live. And we do it beginning from Jerusalem. So for them, that was their local context, and that's where the gospel started to spread. And here we are, 2,000 years later, across an ocean, here because they obeyed this mission. And they did obey it and proclaimed it to all nations, all ethnos. That word is a form of ethnos. Great name for a mission organization. Someone should try that. Right? Take it to all nations. Right? And so that's why we do it not only to our local context, the people God has put in your life, but also we support missions and we look to take God's word to those who have never heard, have no access, don't have the gospel in their language, don't have the word God's word that reveals Jesus. A couple of verses here. And we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ephesians 2:1 and 1 John 1:9. And then there's the nations. It's behind on my slides. For there's salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's from Peter's sermon. And so that's the mission. That's the mission. That's the message, the mission to take that message and proclaim that. So as a reminder on those. So that's stuff we've talked about since January, right? There's the reminder for us. At the back, on the way out, on the right-hand side there, the blue sheet is really just a summary of all those points. So just kind of the main points from all the sermons that we've talked about over the last number of months, keys we've learned about our mission, what it means to be a disciple. I think we got most of them in our brainstorming there, so good job. On the back, there's a couple tips we had done, just some practical things on doing devotions, disciple-making, making a list of those people that God has put in your life. You know, make a list. Commit to pray for them every day. Other passages to study even further. Some recommended resources. So that's at the back there. You can take that. So we know the mission that Jesus has given us. Now how do we do it? Verse 49. And behold, I'm sending the promise, that's the Holy Spirit, of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. The method. So this is what's still in front of us. This is the unknown. This is, Lord, we know the mission. We're disciples of you. We're committed to being disciples, to following you, obeying everything you've commanded. We want to see the lost saved, the ones that we don't even know about, right? the ones that we don't know if they are following, the ones that you've kind of put in our lives, those acquaintances, and those ones that we dearly love, that we know we can see the path they're on and they're heading the wrong direction. We want to see them come to know this good news. And so back in January there too, we gave you a yellow sheet. So that's actually, there's, if you don't have yours still, there's one in the chair in front of you somewhere, if you want to grab one of those. But we kind of just asked the question, what is the mission Jesus gave us? And in that, as we looked at what we've talked about this morning, but then we said, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to say to God, whatever you ask, we're willing to do it. However you lead, Jesus, we're willing to give you, we're going to give a blank slate, right, to fulfill your mission. Not our will, but your will be done. And I hope our answer is yes. And so verse 49, that can only be done by seeking the Holy Spirit. And I remembered this verse from our Colossians study. So what can we do? What can we do as a first step starting here today? This is from the Colossians study, Colossians 4, 2 and 3. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving, and at the same time pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. This is Paul writing to a church, you know, near the end of his letter, and he's like, please keep praying for me. Even the apostle Paul knew he couldn't do it on his own, right? He was completely dependent on the Holy Spirit to move and to work. And he says, be watchful. That word watchful, in that, it's expectant watchfulness, okay? That's what that word is. And so, in other words, like, you know something, you know God's working already. And you're asking God to open your eyes to what he's doing. You're expectant that he's going to work. Pray that we'll be watchful and we can see where he's working. And then pray also that God may open a door. Pray that the Holy Spirit would work in hearts. Pray that he'd break in and give us opportunities to share the gospel. We can't save anybody, right? God needs to do it. He needs to do a work. And he invites us to come along. And so here's our, from that verse 49, here's kind of our doers of the word this week, okay? So if you're writing anything down, and not just this week, but the weeks to come, let's be doing this. This is really, I think, for the rest of our Christian lives, we should be doing this. Ask the Holy Spirit to open our ears to hear his word, right? I shared before about I had... when I was in Bible school and there was a textbook, and as I was reading it, I'd been assigned this textbook, Old Testament theology, and I was getting frustrated. And I finally got to a point where I'm like, I don't even think this guy's a Christian. And I went to the prof and I was like, I don't even think this guy's a Christian. He's like, he's not. I was like, what? And he goes, well, you know, I don't want to tell you everything. He goes, I wanted to you guys to challenge you guys a little bit to like, this guy, and here's a doctor, you know, all these degrees and stuff. He studied the Old Testament and yet completely devoid of any actual change in his heart. Oh, he knew he can read Hebrew, he knows where the culture, he knows all the context, and doesn't resonate in his heart. We need the Holy Spirit to open our ears, to reveal the word to us. Just reading it doesn't change our hearts. So we ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us through his word. Remember, it's God's holy word because it's set apart. That's what the word holy means. It's set apart for us because the thing that sets the Bible apart is that God speaks through it to your situation right now. It's not just a record of history. Yes, it is history, like we talked about last week, right? Yes, it is, but it's also holy. It also can speak to you in your situation and direct you in what you're looking for right now. But we need the Holy Spirit for that. Secondly, ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see where he is already working. Needs of people, right? And I like how Gert prayed that we wouldn't be sometimes in our culture where we need to be so individualistic. We're so afraid to share what we need when we need help, you know? Share the needs that you have. You don't have to share with everybody, but have somebody that you can share your needs with and if you need help. Opportunities. Lord, here we are. We are so blessed, right? And we think of this building and the budget and a paid off building and a gym and a big property and all the gifts that all of you have, right? We are so blessed, Lord. We need the opportunities. How are we to use everything that you have given us to take this mission? Open doors. Soften hearts. And that, when that goes back to that, making a list, that's not just for us as a church, but that's for you as individuals where God has placed you, the people he's placed in your life. Pray that God would open a door. And lastly, ask the Holy Spirit to work in the lives of those that are lost and that he's put in your life. Pray for them by name. And so lastly, I just want to leave you a little challenge and just a little exercise, and it's on the sheet there. So I'd love you to take that home if you don't have yours still. But we kind of talked about this before, but a little exercise. In Acts chapter 1, there was the disciples. There was, it says, 120 of them at Acts 1:15. And what did they do after Jesus gave them that commission and they knew that mission? What did they do? They obeyed. They went back to the upper room and they waited for the Holy Spirit. And they gathered together and they prayed and they sought the Lord. And that's where I think we are as a church. I think we're in that place that right now where God has us, we know the mission. Amen. We want to be disciples and follow Jesus. Amen. And now we're here. Lord, show us. Show us those opportunities. Show us the needs. Put people around us. And so that's what the disciples did. They went back and they prayed. And then God sent the Holy Spirit upon them and they went out, and the rest is history, as they say. And so just as a little exercise for us, I mean, look what happened. 120 of them, and they changed the world. And so what would happen if just pretend that God just took however many of us there is, this body, this committed, this local body here, if you're on chapel, and he just paradropped us right here into Auburn, right? Just dropped us right here. And then he even gifts us the building and the budget and all the gifts, gives you all your gifts and talents, right? Hands each of us a Bible, right? We have the Holy Spirit in us, right? He just gives us that, and then Great Commission, right? Jesus gives us the Great Commission and says, okay, go. Right? What do we do? I'm talking blank slate, right? There's the calendar is empty. We got no ministries. There's no structure for Sunday morning. Nothing, none of that. All we have is the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and the mission to go and make disciples. What do we do? Right? What do we start with? What does Sunday morning look like? Right? What does Sunday morning look like? What are the essentials of when we gather together? Right? What's most important? Right? What ministries would we start? What would we look to do? If that was the focus, that is the goal. That is the focus. That is the goal. Right? And so it's just, and I mean, don't hear what I'm not saying, right? I'm not saying that we've got it all wrong and we need to blow it all up and change it all, okay? I hope that by prayer and seeking the Lord that he has led us well, and that's why we gather the way we do and have the ministries we do and everything. But I think it's a great exercise, because maybe there is some stuff that's just fluff. Maybe is there stuff that needs some chaff that needs to get blown away. Maybe there is a refocus that we need to do, right? But just that exercise of bringing us back according to his word, not what we think. This isn't a brainstorming, go home and put down all your brilliant ideas, right? This is study, and the sheet will help you there. Study God's word. Pray. We need the Holy Spirit. Everything should be scripturally based. What are the essential elements that are timeless, that could be applicable back then, that are applicable today? Study in community. Share with one another, so because the Holy Spirit speaks through one another. So that's the challenge. Would we be, as we just kind of think about that and kind of set out to carry out this mission and see what it looks like for us here at Huron Chapel in this place, and for you where God's placed you. Amen. All I got left to do is pray, but I'm just seeing if there's anything else. Yeah. Let's just close by just some little, why don't we pray together instead of just listening to me? So just with the people around you, just gather with just that group. If there's someone beside you there, you just gather your little family unit or a friend or whatever. And just take a minute, just pray and ask those things. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak through his word. Ask him to show you opportunities or needs. Ask him to open doors. If it's a tight family thing, you could probably pray by name right now for those that you know need the gospel message. Amen. So just take